LNB's audio diary for the 5th of April, 2024. It is a Friday, and it's just a little bit after 9 o'clock in the morning. I am on my way to pick up Mrs. Bronx from her job. She had an early meeting and then stayed to do some work, setting up the clinic and everything. That's a thing that usually takes a couple hours after they've had a week, just restocking, you know, bandages and all that stuff. And she usually goes in. She'll often go in on her day off to do that. And she was there anyway, so she figured, I may as well. So I'm going to pick her up. We have a video conference or telehealth meeting for I don't know what she is. But it's a healthcare person that handles Little Bronx's case, and she has to sign off on his meds. That's why we do this, you know, because the type of healthcare that he's got to have somebody signing. Obviously, he's got to have somebody signing for the medications, and out here, it's not practical in a lot of ways to go into the office. Plus, it's like a 15-minute chat, just saying, how's everything going, how are the meds feeling, blah, blah, blah. It's not like a touchy-feely, you know, psychiatric visit or anything. It's just trying to see if the medications are still going well and okay. So every couple of months, we have one of those, and that's this afternoon. So that, I'll have that going on. But they're really easy, and she's actually really nice, so not a big deal. It was a real technological headache at first because they were using, I don't know, some conferencing system I'd never heard of, and it didn't work well. And they had a lot of connectivity issues, not just with us, but with everybody. And they finally dropped it and just went to Windows Live, I think it's called, or Meetings or something, whatever it's called. But it's the one that is part of Windows. And it works like a charm. It works really well. We use it on an Android tablet, and it works just fine. No complaints there. So anyway, let's see. What have I been up to? Well, with regards to the book, I'm up to chapter 20 now, and that also will need a complete ground up write, you know, rewrite. I have to not even use what I have. I have to completely come up with new stuff. And that's fine. I started doing that, and I had to go back and lace some information throughout previous chapters just so that it makes more sense now when I bring it up. It's not like I'm pulling it out of thin air. So, you know, that's kind of the first step in some elements to it. But this is a really important chapter, and I have to work my way through it. I really ought to read what I've got there just to see in case there is something I can use rather than scrap the whole thing. I think there is a scene later in the chapter that I want to modify and use. So I don't think I'm just going to delete everything like it did with chapter 19. But chapter 19 turned out kind of okay, but I already know what I'm going to change on the next pass, right? Like the first part of the chapter I'm scrapping entirely, and I'm just going to narrate that, you know, when it picks up, you know, and then this happened rather than go through the scene, because there's no point. It doesn't go anywhere, and it just ends up in a particular, you know, spot that I can just say, yeah, and then, you know, then we went ahead and did this, and then that would just take up all of that, and I wouldn't need to put it in there, because it doesn't do anything. It doesn't add anything, but now I know what happened, so I don't need to, you know, kind of wing it. You know, it's like, okay, this is the stuff that happened. Now I'll just encapsulate this in a little bit of narration. Then I can get rid of all of that, and we've saved a tremendous amount of space, because there's an important element that I have to add that I didn't add. You know, it's like, I got to the end, let's go. And then it's like, oh, you know, but I need this other thing to happen. I mean, it really has to be in there. So I'll just, you know, I gotta fix it anyway, so I'll get rid of that first part and then add this other part towards the end. I know what I'm talking about. I know it doesn't make any sense. So in other words, it's coming along. It's slow. I've been slow, but it's been a rough year so far. But we're doing okay. We're making progress, and that's that's about all you can hope for. All right, so let's see. What have I been up to otherwise? Working on the role-playing game bit by bit. I've also been working on the Tony's Pizza game. Yesterday, there's so many creeping into my blind spot. Thank you very much. Yesterday, I took a copy of the game from the, from the pizza box, and I glued it onto a piece of paper, and then, doubled that paper up so it's kind of thick, and then I put it under a heavy weight to dry, and I flipped it over and, let that dry. Somebody moved it off the paper. I don't know why, but somebody did. Because it was in the way, I think. It is in the way. It's right in the living room, but I put it back on this morning and put some more paper I put some paper towel on the side that got glued because I wanted to draw some moisture out. Not necessarily draw the glue, but the water that's in the glue and help it, dry out a little bit. Even doing that, I think it's going to curl up because I did my best to kind of sandwich the paper so that it doesn't give me that problem, but it's still going to do it, at least a little bit, because the cardboard curls as well when you glue it, and it needed a certain kind of stiff backing that I just don't have, because I'm using garbage paper that I just happen to have. That's how I do things. So it's probably going to be a little bit curly when it finally dries, but if it's not too bad, I'm not going to complain about it. And, I can always glue it onto something else that maybe won't curl. I don't know. But it looks good, and I went through it yesterday with a paint pen and put all the lines on for the different arrows of where you're going, because, as I say, I've modified the rules. And then I need to codify those rules. I need to write them down so that it's right there and you know how to play, but, with the new rules. So, but I want to play test it some more, too, because that was fun last time. And, yeah, I think I'll film it, so there you go. Let's see, what else? Okay, somewhere on the dusty corridors of the internets, I found the entire series of The Planet of the Apes from 1974. Now, I've talked about what a Star Wars and Star Trek fan I was, right? I was super, 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 super into, especially Star Trek in the early days. Star Wars didn't come out till 77. But in the early days, the 70s, I was a crazy Star Trek fan. But I was also absolutely, absolutely obsessed with Planet of the Apes, right? Crazy obsessed with it, right? I'd seen all the movies multiple times. Every time it came on TV, I watched it, right? There was no VCRs or anything in those days, so you could only see it on TV or in the movies. But, I'd seen it multiple times, right? And they showed them multiple times because they were very popular. Even the bad ones later on. Battle for the Planet of the Apes and everything else, right? But I was just obsessed. I was crazy obsessed with that. And Roddy McDowall, who stars as... Well, he's played multiple apes in the different franchises. Elements of the franchise, I should say. He's Cornelius in the first two movies, I think it is. He plays... what's his name? He plays Caesar in Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, and in the TV series, he plays a chimp named Galen, right? And in some ways, they're all kind of the same character, although Caesar was notably different, but his circumstances were radically different. But, of course, keep Andy Serkis out of your mind in the modern versions of Planet of the Apes. This was a different animal in a different time period, and it was all makeup, so they had to act through the makeup, right? And man, that could not have been easy, and he acts his butt off in this TV show. He really, really was all in on the show. He was all in on Planet of the Apes. I mean, why not? He was a British character actor, and he'd been in a lot of productions, but he was never the star in anything until Planet of the Apes. And he was like, well, the dude had been working most, I think all of his adult life as an actor, so he knew how hard it was to get jobs. And he knew you don't, you know, you don't poo-poo a job. If someone's going to offer you money to work, you take it and you do the job. If you're an actor, you do the job, right? Very realistic view of the whole thing. And so, you know, he, even though he's a Shakespearean trained actor, you know, he'd been in these major productions such as Julius Caesar and, you know, I mean, big films and stuff, but always as a second banana, third banana, right? But he, you know, he had a beautiful speaking voice, and you know, he really, really fine actor. I always liked him. You know, and if you remember, later on, he was in the original Fright Night, and everyone loves him. I mean, it just, you know, he was always great. And he was a semi-regular guest on the Carol Burnett Show back in the day, and you know, just a wonderful man. You know, no one ever said a bad word about him that I've ever heard, and he was just a fixture in Hollywood by that point. And actually, in much later years, of course, anybody who knew him back then knew this, but in much later years, collections of his, he was an avid, like a real shutterbug. He was an avid photographer, but he was really gifted too. And that's really where his heart was, in photography and art photography. And there've been collections of his Hollywood photos, you know, like shots from, you know, behind scenes of big movies and, you know, studio lots. But also, I mean, you know, Southern California is a beautiful place, especially during that time period. Lots and lots and lots of stuff. So he was really quite a guy. And I've always loved the man. I always, you know, never met him, but I always loved him. One of those things. I was a massive fan. Massive fan. And I was a huge fan of the Planet of the Apes TV show, right? And it always galled me, right? Because the show, of course, got canceled after one season, naturally. I mean, come on. Looking at it from, you know, I was heartbroken, but I also, deep down inside, had a feeling it wasn't going to make it again, because no one was into it the way I was. But anyway, only 13 episodes, so it wasn't even a full season back then. That would be considered a good season today, but back then, that was about half a season. So I don't know if I'm misremembering. Maybe it was a mid-season replacement, something that they put in over the summer. I don't even remember. Maybe it was never supposed to go two seasons. Maybe it was only ever supposed to be, you know, what it was. But at any rate, I was devoted and rabid, right? What's this? Something came up. Okay, no big deal. I was a rabid fan of this, and none of my friends were. No, I think they all looked at me like I was a knucklehead, but that's all right. But I was a rabid fan of the show, and I never missed an episode. They were on Friday nights, as I recall, right? Okay, so I sat there all week, waiting all week for the next episode of this show. And I watched every one of them. I was devoted. Every one of them except one, because my stepbrother Tommy was getting married. And my parents made me go, right? I would have skipped his marriage entirely, right? The wedding reception, all that crap. I would have skipped it all just to watch this episode. I kind of didn't like Tommy anyway, so it didn't matter, right? I wasn't going to miss anything. And I didn't like his family, the in-laws that he was marrying into. Turns out they were all mafiosa and everything. That's another story. Anyway, I was so angry. So I went to this thing in protest, and I was such a little asshole about the whole thing because I was so mad that I missed this episode of Planet of the Apes. Well, they never repeated it, right? It never came back as a mid, you know, like, because there wasn't a full season, so they weren't going to show repeats, right? So I saw all of it that I could, except for one episode. And then that was it, you know. And there were baseball cards that came out. They weren't baseball, they were Planet of the Apes cards, but they came out with gum packs, just like, you know, just like sports cards. And I collected all of those. I had all of them. I had the whole thing, right? I had lunchboxes. I'm telling you, I was an ape fanatic. Just absolutely crazy about it. And it always galled me that I missed this one episode, right? I've seen everything else apes, right? Including the cartoon series that came later. That was pretty crappy, but I saw everything, right? I saw it all. I saw everything except for this one episode, right? So I knew it was going to be a lousy show, right? I knew it coming into it when I found it, the other day. And I knew it wasn't going to be very good, you know, and that I was looking back on it with rose-colored glasses and all of that, right? But I'll be damned if the opportunity to see that one episode was going to happen, I was going to take it, right? And I couldn't remember what it was, and there was no guarantee that they'd been aired in the right order. So I had to watch them all, and that's fine, because I actually didn't really remember very much. There were only a couple of elements and certain things about the show. I remember at one point, Galen, Roddy McDowell's chimp character, he's in a hang glider at one point, because a human created a, you know, a flying machine. And, you know, all this other stuff. They took a ton of liberties on the TV show. It was different than the movies. The humans weren't, like, primitive animals. They were more like, I don't know, like medieval serfs or something. It was, you know... Anyway, doesn't matter. But I finally watched them all. I just binged the entire series, and I watched the entire series in, like, 2 days or something. And, I can say now that I've seen all of the apes, right? All of the ape stuff. And is that a piece of satisfaction? Well, I don't know. It's a minor thing, obviously. It doesn't change my life in the least. Especially since, you know, it could have been almost any one of those episodes that I'd missed. I couldn't remember, right? But the thing about it is that I always remembered that I'd missed it. Right? That I, even though I couldn't remember the show, I remembered I missed it, right? And it just stuck in my craw. It's just one of those little things, right? One of those little things that chase you through your whole life. We are talking, what is it, the 70s? So we're talking over 50 years ago, or about 50 years, give or take, 50 years ago that this show was on. And yeah, 74, so it would have been this year, but later, you know, like, I think it was the summer or the fall. But you know, I was like 10 years old, and it just, all this time, it was just a little thing. Every time the Planet of the Apes, and any single time new movies come out, anyone talks about the Planet of the Apes, every single time, there's just a little thing in the back of my head that's like, oh, you missed that one episode, though. You missed that one episode, you know. And now I don't have that anymore. I'm free! I'm free! I'm free, man! So, that's happened. Oh, Lord Almighty. Little milestones. Yeah, buddy. Little victories. That's what life's made of. So, so a quickie review with modern eyes of the Planet of the Apes TV show. Well, the makeup was nowhere near as good as in the original series. It couldn't be, obviously. They have less money to work with and a much shorter time frame. So the makeup is great. Some of the actors in ape makeup, even ones that had, you know, like, they're in front of the camera, they're like secondary characters for that episode. Somebody you're paying attention to, in other words, and they can barely move their mouths. So, you know, the makeup wasn't as good, right? Some it was weird too, because some scenes in some episodes the makeup looked fabulous, right? And in others it just looked like a bad mask, and it was very uneven. It was very, very uneven. So I think they had a huge team working feverishly, and some of them were better at it than others. Roddy McDowell really worked hard, really, really knocked it out of the park in many ways, but he was working against this, you know, ridiculous scripts and some real makeup challenges. So there was no way that this thing was ever going to last. There was no way it was going to be even good, right? But man, imagine having an itch you couldn't scratch for 50 years. And I finally did. Anyway, I guess that's it for today, because I am not home.